God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Good. I want to talk this morning about following God. It is August 28th. For those listening online, I want to talk about following God. We hear a lot about following the Lord, and so many times we say we're following the Lord, but we're actually doing our own thing, just putting a mask on it, putting a veil, putting a good face on it. We've talked before about people that will put the fish symbol on a business card, or put a fish symbol on some sort of Christian thing on their vehicle or whatever, and then act in ways that don't bring glory to God. You've heard the, I know I've said it from here, woman driving down the road in a van. The vehicle in front of her stops at a yellow light. The woman lays on the horn and starts yelling out the window at the person. All of a sudden, there's a knock on the side of her car as the police officers come up. Ma'am, license and registration. Can I see that? Yeah, see that? See your identification? What's the problem, officer? I thought the car was stolen. Because on the back I see, follow, you know, my child goes to such and such Baptist school and follow me to Sunday school and all these Christian things, and here you are acting like a complete heathen. I thought the car was stolen. How we react, how we act, gives off a message, and it shows how closely we're following God. Start with Scripture, Numbers 32, beginning with verse 10. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, "Surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun. For they have wholly followed the Lord." So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them to wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all that generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. We know the story. The spies go in, and after they're in searching out the land, they come back and they give the report. And Joshua and Caleb say, "It is a wondrous land, and God will surely give us the strength to go in and conquer." But the other 10 spies said, "No, we appeared as grasshoppers in our own sight compared to the people. There were giants in the land and all of these other things. It's truly a rich land, but we can't go in there. They have walled cities." Joshua and Caleb said, "God's taking us in there. God will bring us through it." But the other 10 spies talked the whole congregation of Israel against being obedient to the Lord. God got a little angry. Following the Lord means doing things sometimes that don't make sense to the natural mind, that don't seem to make sense at all. But if we're obedient to God, He is doing some wondrous things. I saw a little excerpt from a book yesterday, I believe it was. Anyone know who Smith Wigglesworth was? Smith Wigglesworth was a preacher about 100 years ago. About 100 years ago now. Who was, God used him in some mighty ways. At any rate, he was walking down the road one day, and God told him to go up to a door and yell John 3:16 through the keyhole. Okay, so he did. And he goes up and he yells John 3:16 through the keyhole. And he goes on and he's in town for a revival. They got a big tent meeting set up. And There was a testimony time in this big tent revival, and this person came up and said, I was ready to kill myself. I was about to hang myself. I had the noose over my neck. And all of a sudden, somebody yelled, John 3:16. And I had to take the noose off and go look it up to see what it says. And it says, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to know the God that used that man. I'm here to know who God is. We don't know how God is going to use the things he has us do. Things that don't seem to make sense. But God is at work. Joshua and Caleb said, I know God can bring us through this. If you go into the book of Joshua, after they've gone into the land and they're defeating everybody, and Caleb says, I want the mountain with the giants. That's what God told me I could have, and that's what I'm going to have. He got Horeb. He got the mountain that had the giants in it. That was his inheritance at 80 years old because he said, I trusted God and God is faithful. Knowing who God is, walking in God's ways, guides us in situations that just completely blow the mind. In 1 Samuel 12, beginning with verse 20, now what's happened in 1 Samuel 12 is Samuel has just got done chewing out the congregation of Israel because they insist on having a king. He said, you rejected having God as your king. And after he chewed them out, they said, oh, we have sinned against the Lord. What will we do? So here's his response. Verse 20, then Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have done all this wickedness, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing. Stop right there for just a minute. You realize our choice is following God or following something useless, right? Whether it's our own ambition or whether it's our own passions, whether it's something else maybe we think was going to take care of us. No. It's following God or not. That's the choice. Choose this day who you will serve, Joshua said. So he tells the people, you sinned. You did all this wickedness. We can't change that. From here forward, don't turn aside from following God. That's the same lesson for each and every one of us. We repent, but we can't change what we've done. We can't change the past. All we can do is from this day forward, from this step forward, follow God. How is God talking? As walking in the Scripture, walking in the understanding of God as much as we understand. And when we find out, hey, we were wrong in such an area, turn away from it and keep on going. It's in Numbers. It's not this passage. I don't remember exactly where it is. I know it's in Numbers. There's a provision in the law, where God says, when you find out that you've been doing something wrong, not a sin of, I know it was wrong and I was doing it. When you find out you were doing something wrong, stop, make the sacrifice, and then go on. Turn away from it. In our own lives, when we recognize we've done something wrong, say, Lord, forgive me, and Lord, guide me through it. Lord, lead me from this point on, because I desire to follow you. Reading the Bible, you read through the Bible, and then all of a sudden, that morning, a verse just jumps out at you. Something that you've read many, many times, but all of a sudden that morning it hits your heart. All of a sudden that morning you're convicted. It's happened to me, I assume it's happened to a lot of people. All of a sudden something just leaps off the page. I'm like, oh Lord, I've been messing that up. Lord, forgive me and help me to go on. Whatever it happens to be, I talk about the verse after I've been railing against my boss and find that verse that says, servants, be obedient to your masters, not just the good ones. And had to repent openly because I had railed against my boss openly. And he says, everybody does it. I said, yeah, but not everybody's the preacher. You know, we're supposed to be following God. When we find out we're blowing it, we really need to make it open, be open and honest with our repentance, open and honest with our apologies, open and honest with walking forward from it. Because people are watching. People are paying attention to what goes on in our life. Praise God. Continuing on, verse 22. For the Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you His people. Praise God. He is talking to Israel, but He's done that in each and every one of us. The Lord will not forsake His people. Praise God. He's the one who knows. No one can come to Jesus except the Father draw them. We talked about that a minute ago. We can't serve the Lord unless He draws us. He chose us. And the Lord will not forsake His people. If we turn aside from following the Lord, we're following uselessness. We're following just a waste of time. It has absolutely no benefit. Verse 23. Moreover, for me, again, Moses talking, be it far from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him with truth, in truth with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. And if you do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king. God's taking care of us, continues to take care of us, continues to guide us. The Lord will not forsake His people. Whatever you do, follow hard after Him. But as Moses says, as for me, I will not sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. We have an obligation to God to pray for the people around us, to pray for our brothers and sisters. And if we don't, we're sinning against the Lord. Go on, 2 Kings 23, beginning with verse 1. I love this passage of Scripture. I love reading about this king, King Josiah. So, a little background, 1 Kings 22. Josiah's the king, he's a little boy. And in the years of his reign, they found the book of the law in the temple. Now, they're supposed to be reading this book of the law every day. But it had gotten out of practice. They'd allowed other things to take place. They'd allowed other pagan worship in the temple. All of these other things had happened, and the book of the law kind of got stuck over the last couple of generations, last couple of kings and couple of priests. But in Josiah's day, they found the book of the law. So here, verse 23, starting with verse 1. Says, now the king sent them to gather all of the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. And the king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all of the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all of the people took a stand for the covenant. When he found the book of the law, when they found the book of the law, he realized the wickedness that they had done. See, Josiah, he went and he rooted out all of the idol worship in Judah. But then he went around to Israel, because it's a divided kingdom. He didn't just have an influence over his own nation. He had an influence over the surrounding nation, because they were supposed to have been under the same rules and under the same laws. He went in and tore down high places and tore down groves and tore down idols, not just in his own land, but he was zealous after following the Lord. And he set such an example that all of the people followed as well. As we follow God, it has an influence on those people around us. By the same token, when we don't follow the Lord, it has an influence on those people around us. We are called to be witnesses, to show the grace and love and mercy of our God. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is talking. Well, actually, he's talking about Jesus. It happened as they were journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go. Let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." And another one also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid farewell to them at my house." And Jesus said to them, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus said in these three little passages here, following God is not always going to be calm. It's not always going to be comfortable. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Following God sometimes means being at a disadvantage, being without, being at lack. But Paul says, "I've learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content." As we follow God, God takes care of us. It's not always what we might think God is going to do or how he's going to work it. But he will guide us and work through us. He says to another, in verse 59, he said to another one, "Follow me." And he said, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Looking at that, he's like, what, his dad's dead? If his dad's dead, how come he's there hanging out with Jesus to start with? Why isn't he taking care of that? But the culture is, that's wait until my father dies. "Lord, I'll follow you. I just can't do it right now." Jesus says, "What I'm calling you to do is more important than what you think your plans are." And then the other one says, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to them who are at my house." "Lord, I'll follow you. I just can't do it right now." Do you ever say that to the Lord? Did you ever, before you came to the Lord, did you ever hear a message and it kind of plucked at your heart, but I've got too much stuff going on right now? I sure did. But Jesus says it's serious. Following God is a serious thing. It's not just willy-nilly. It's not just whether or not I feel like it today. It's a decision. It's a commitment. And it's life. 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning with verse 6, Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica, and says, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Paul is praising this church at Thessalonica because they lived out their faith. They were an example to the people around them. Everybody talks about you're following God. And it's made an impact, not only in your town, in your community, but in the whole regions of Macedonia and Achaia. You're known by your walk with the Lord. You're known to your co-workers. You're known to your neighbors by how you walk, how you live. We become living epistles, whereas God has written on our hearts. We become lights in the midst of the darkness, sometimes without saying a word. The glow of God shining on our face, just the way we react to things that go on around us shows a difference from the world around us. And they want to know what the difference is. What is that difference? May not ever ask it, but they're watching. In Jeremiah 7, verse 23, this is the prophet, is part of Jeremiah's really laying it out to the people. But as God is saying, "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." That's the command. do what God tells us to do. John said, this is love, that we obey His commandments. We do what God tells us to do. We follow God. We are obedient to the Word of God. Final passage of Scripture, Micah 6, verses 6 through 8. Says, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? It's not in what we bring to the Lord. It's not in what we can give Him. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the Creator. He owns the earth and all the fullness thereof. He's in control of everything. There's nothing we can bring to God and say, okay, yeah, that covers your debt. You're all set. We come before Him because He draws us. We come before Him forgiven, standing in the righteousness of Jesus, because it's a gift of God. There's nothing we can bring Him to make Him love us more. Do justly. Love mercy and walk humbly with God. Recognize that everything we have is a blessing of the Lord. Everything we have is the blessing of the Lord. The very breath that we breathe, the ability to think, all of that is the blessing of the Lord. God is gracious and loving toward us. And He calls us to walk in fellowship. He calls us to walk in companionship. He calls us to walk in communion with Him. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or 10,000 rivers of oil? No. But He has shown you what is good. Do justly, love mercy, and walk with Him. Walk humbly with Him, but walk with Him. Following God throughout this life. Because He is the source of our life. He is the one who created us. He knit us together in our mother's womb. He breathed life into us. He is the one who holds us in the palm of His hands, who knows everything that goes on in our lives, who loves us so much that He wanted to create that relationship with us. He sent Jesus to pay the price for the sin that was separating us from Him. And He calls us to walk with Him and to follow Him. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You that You were the one who made the way when there was no way. That You were the one who opened the door of salvation. Who were the one who provided the perfect sacrifice for our sin to restore right relationship that we had messed up. That we had sinned and had walked away from You. And You draw us by Your Spirit back into a relationship. And You call us, Lord, to follow You, to do Your will, to walk in Your ways. Because You see the end from the beginning. You know everything that's coming. You know everything that's going on. And You know what is right. And You know what we need to do. And You know what we're going to be facing. You're with us and You guide us. We thank You for it, Father. Lord, You've called us to follow You. Follow You, follow Your ways. And we thank You for it, Father. We thank You, Lord, that You lay out Your ways, that You lay out in Your Word, Father, to show us and to teach us. And also, Lord, that You nudge and teach us by Your Holy Spirit, Father, that You will sometimes even quicken a verse to us, Father, that we might understand a little deeper, understand a little more. And You call us, Father, that even when we've fallen, even when we've sinned, even when we've walked away, You call us by Your grace and by Your love and by Your mercy to come back into relationship, to come back into fellowship, and to follow hard after You. Father, we thank You for it. We thank You, Lord, that Your tender mercies are fresh and new each morning, that Your loving kindness extends throughout the generations, Father, that You are gracious in all of Your ways. We give praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.